Welcome to the Crossing Church Podcast, your weekly dose of sermon messages.
Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 to 34. Do not be anxious. Therefore, I tell you, when it says therefore, we must remember what was preached last week and in the chapter before, in the verses before, it was simply this: let heaven be your treasure. Amen? Let where your heart is, that's where your treasure is. Let your heart be consumed with heaven and with God's plans and God's future. Is that good? If your heart is consumed with that, you're going to do things easily for God. If your heart's not consumed with that, if your heart is consumed with this earth, it's going to be tough for you to do things for God. Then you're going to come up with all kinds of excuses and reasons why you're not going to do what God wants you to do. But if your heart is in heaven, if your treasure is in heaven, and you know what? What is the real, the ultimate treasure in heaven for us? The ultimate treasure in heaven for us is Him. Hello? I do hope that you're not looking forward to a mansion more than you're looking forward to the face of God. I mean, we might be looking forward to gold streets, but in heaven, gold is as common as tar. Some parts of our city need a bit of tar. You imagine in heaven, the phoning the city of heaven and asking them if they can please fix the gold tar potholes that are developing on the way to wherever we go in heaven. In heaven, the tar is as common as gold is as common as tar. So if you're looking forward to gold in heaven, it's like everyone's going to laugh at you. Like, what are you doing with bags of tar, buddy? Bags of road. But the joy and the treasure of heaven is God. Can I ask you to please make God your treasure today? If God's your treasure, then no treasure is enough for Him. Hello? Is that good? And what do you think is the treasure of heaven for God? Gold. I'll tell you why I say gold. Because your faith is like gold. And the treasure for God is that you believe in Him. And that you trust Him. And that you give yourself to Him. For Him, the treasure is you and your faith. Isn't that amazing? Heaven's not just the treasure of every single person, because there is still a hell. Why is all that treasure going to hell? The key is that we believe in Jesus. That's the treasure. We come into a place of absolute restoration, and gold is established in us as treasure for God when we put our faith in Jesus Christ. If we don't have faith in Jesus Christ, we're not a treasure to God. You know, people have this thing, oh, God loves you. He loves you so much, but He doesn't love your sin. Well, I tell you, a God who loves you so much, it doesn't love your sin. Why doesn't He just remove your sin and then save everyone? He doesn't. He gives all of us a responsibility to believe in Jesus. And if we believe in Him, then we have heaven. If we don't, He doesn't send people to hell that He loves. He keeps people in heaven that He loves. But He loves those who put their faith in Jesus. Because there's no other way that God has shown His love for us by sending His Son to a cross to die for us. Reject that. And I tell you what, you're not going to get a whole lot of God's love. Amen? So there's one life for us to make a decision. Let's not live by the error that God loves sinners. He came to die for sinners so that He could express His love for them, and it's complete when they believe in Jesus Christ. If they don't, He doesn't love them to hell. He doesn't love them. It's quite a scary thing to read the scriptures and to realize, wow, only those who put their faith in Jesus will ever experience the genuine love of God. So, if that is treasure to us, what God loves, we want to love. If God loves people, we want to love people. So therefore, let's do the best thing that God would have us do. And let's take His love to those who need it before it's too late. So that they can become the treasure of heaven. That's why living for the treasure of heaven changes what you live for on the earth. If you're only living for your comfort here on earth, you're not going to live for reaching people, touching lives, living in a way that when others see you, that you display Jesus Christ to them so that they can come to know the love in a real and genuine way. We know that scripture, for God so loved the world, He gave His only Son, so whoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. His love is not complete upon those who perish. His love is complete upon those who believe in His Son and have everlasting life. Amen. So Let's not just think, oh, God loves everyone, He'll save everyone. No, we've got to go after them. We've got to bring them the gospel. We have to get them to the place where they repent of their sin, say sorry for the stuff that Jesus died for, so they can walk into His goodness and grace. Then it's all free. Then it's heaven forever. Who's looking forward to that? Then you see the extent of His love for you. It's incredible. Right. Therefore, believers in heaven, with treasure in heaven, with heaven as your treasure, with God as your treasure, with what He treasures as your treasure. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body and what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall I eat? Or what shall I drink? Or what shall I wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things. The whole world seeks after these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for today is its own trouble. Amen. Isn't that a beautiful portion of Scripture? What encouragement, what promises, what perspective, and incredible challenge for us if we want those things. Now, I tell you what, there is a disorder in the world called anxiety disorder. Anybody ever suffered from that? Anybody know people who suffered from that? We all, at different times, have had anxieties about all kinds of things. Anxiety disorder, mental health disorder, characterized by feelings of worry and of fear and anxiety strong enough to interfere with your daily living. You see that Jesus cares about what you do on a daily basis? Jesus cares about and has numbered the hairs that fall from your head. I mean, He is that intimately and that detailed about His care for you that He knows how many hairs are on your head. Some of you have more than others. He knows how many of them have fallen out. He knows how many times they've grown back. He knows how many times you cut your hair, dyed it, all the kind of stuff we do. He knows about that stuff. And if anxiety can interfere with our lives, then God cares about us not caring about everything. Because He wants us to be focused on one thing. How many of you try to handle everything well? And you try to get everything together? And you try to make sure everything's perfect and clean and tidy and following the pattern and the plan? I tell you what, no wonder you have anxiety. Some of the most anxious people are the perfectionists. I'm sometimes anxious because I want things to go well. I want it to be good. I want it to be clean. And then God gives us 4 children. I'm like, oh my gosh. I've just paid for someone to clean my house like literally 40 seconds ago. And then the house is like, like what? People are coming. We've got to get it clean, you know, kind of anxiety that can flood our lives with all kinds of things. Examples of anxiety or panic attacks. Anybody have had one of those? Obsessive compulsive disorder. You know? The fear of the germ that you can't see, but it's there on your toothbrush. And you stuck it in your mouth this morning. You know, there's people that are genuinely scared of that. I hope that's not you. There's stress. There's post-traumatic stress. The stuff that happens in this world. We get so accustomed to the things that happen and go wrong that we try whatever we can to ensure ourselves and secure ourselves and protect ourselves from that thing ever happening again. And you know what? We fear that thing happening again. And when it does happen again, we're like, oh God, you let me down. You're not as perfect as I am. In a broken world, folk, the symptoms include stress that are out of proportion for the impact of the event. You know, sometimes we stress about the chip of paint on the car, but But we show no stress at millions who are dying daily. Doesn't it show you we're out of kilter? The weight is too far in one place or the other. And God needs to come and speak into these things for us. We have an inability to set aside worry. Is anybody like that? I pray today you'd be set free. Restlessness. You can't sleep at night. You're awake thinking about the next day's budget. You're thinking about your health. You're thinking about the future. You're thinking about the family. You're thinking about all this stuff. You can't sleep at night. Today, I trust in that God's going to bring peace to your soul. And He brings it through His Word. And then we've got to go running and spending money and everything we've got on counseling and medication and antidepressants and things that counter the antidepressants. Hello? Let's get to the Word. Because God's got the prescription we need to get rid of anxiety disorder. We live in a fallen world, folk. No wonder we're insecure. Every government is run by fallen men. And we trust them so. Every company is run by a fallen CEO. And we expect him to be the salvation till our retirement. Every one of you who are married to a fallen spouse. And you expect that they're going to love you perfectly the whole way. They're going to obey their vows just like you do. Hello? We live in a fallen world with broken things. We get sick. Things do break. There is rust and moth and thief. And things fall apart. And creation is groaning. And all of these things are as a result of sin and the curse which has been placed on this earth. You know what? Get used to it. And if you've got a bit of faith, you can fight back and God can do miracles. But you know what? It's not the norm. Because a miracle is a miracle. It's not a miracle that the sun comes up every day. Hello? Oh, miracle, the sun's shining. No, that's norm. Miracles are miracles because they're not the norm. We can trust God for more. Some of you can walk in healing and abilities, and some of you can have a special gift upon your lives where miracles are happening regularly. But it's not the norm. Would you agree? The norm is difficulty. In this world, you will face trouble, but fear not, I've overcome the world. So, that's why Jesus is saying, I've come from heaven, I want to tell you about heaven, and I want you to get through this earth with your faith intact, because there's something else to live for. If you're only living for the things that fall, man, you go with it. The greatest inventions of man will fall apart. The greatest buildings man could ever build will tumble down. Not one stone will be left on another. We can place so much investment and life and time into all this, and you know what? It passes away. That's insecure. If there's nothing else but this world, then we have the right and the freedom to be nervous wrecks for the rest of our lives. I give you the freedom to be a nervous wreck. unless there's something that changes it all. Unless there's a kingdom with another king who restores everything. He puts his breath in our lungs. We start to sing in that song. He restores all who are broken. Every heart that is broken, he restores. Isn't that beautiful? And so he speaks and he wants to show us what to do. So what do we worry about? Well, in this scripture, I can see three things. The first being our life. We worry about eating and drinking and our bodies and what we put on. How many of you worried about that this morning? Some of you, Ian, I reckon, worried a little bit about what they were going to wear. You worried about whether you're going to put makeup on or not? The ladies, I hope. Some of you worried about, I was like, well, I was worried because I was late for band practice. I was like, I've got to put clothes on quickly and rush. And then you worried about getting the kids' clothes on. I sometimes worry about my kids not having their clothes on because they like running around the house naked. You know, that's another story. But life, we worried about our life. Then we worry about our work and our business. Ever worried about that? Your sowing and your reaping, your gathering and your storing. You're saving and you're not saving and you're getting out of debt. Those things are worrying to some people. God has something to say about it. And then we worry about our futures. And so I trust that today something of God's word would just change and challenge and just be a medicine to your soul. Is that good? So we worry about food. You know, I get grumpy if I can't eat. Unless I'm fasting. If I know I'm fasting, there's a purpose to not eating. Have you heard of the thing called being hangry? I get angry. I don't know why. if I'm moody if I don't have my food. But the Lord is good because he says to me, Brad, don't brood with your entire mood over food. Don't be anxious. You know, we can obsess about with such meticulous concern about every fearful little detail of our lives. I tell you, it's not worth it. It's not worth the stress. There's things, God is saying, life is more important than food. You can make your stomach your belly god. When your belly god wants to be worshipped, it wants a sacrifice offering now. Let it be a lamb or a beef or whatever it might be. Ostrich will do. But this belly god saying, feed me now. And the Corinthians used to say, well, I have a stomach and there is food, so the one was made for the other. But God is saying, well, the stomach for food and food for the stomach, but there's way more to life than that. There's way more to life. And you know what, guys? We might be greedy and we might worry about the fact that we run out of tomato sauce. But there are millions of people who haven't got a single food within kilometers of where they are. Every single day. But still, we can feed them and we can look after them. But still, life is more important than the food we eat. We can feed people out of heaven. If we never give them the real food, which is the gospel. And so what I want to say to you is, while you worry about your food, and you should be concerned about what you eat every single day, like my little Carter, yeah? He loves his milk. He drinks milk, like, I don't know how many bottles of milk he drinks every night. But it's like 4 bottles of milk and 2 nappies every night. We're worried about our food. Yeah, when that tin of milk runs out, hey. And then he doesn't want yogurt. But God wants to give us a promise and a perspective. A promise and a perspective. Let's not have an unhealthy devotion, almost to the point of worship, where we idolize the stuff of the world and we don't put as much attention and care into our love for God. How many of you love cooking? I mean, there's some amazing cooks and bakers in this church. Some of you are just amazing at picking the right stuff at Woolies, ready-made, like me. But there's a gift in being able to think about the right spice and the right temperature and the right time and the right ingredients and all these kind of things. And it's concerning. It can be an anxiety. There's no salt. What are we going to do? You know, the oven's not working. The thermostat's out, whatever the case, all this kind of stuff. And we care so much about the food we eat on a daily basis. Now Jesus is saying, guys, I want you to turn your focus, the same kind of anxiety and concern and thoughtfulness and attention that you pour into what you eat on a daily basis. This calories, that this, not that. Or think about your spiritual life, because you weigh more than just a body. You're a temple of the Holy Spirit. Physical exercise is of some value. It is of some value. Please. But godliness, the thing inside, holds value for all things. Because when you've got godliness, it affects how then you eat, and you can eat to the glory of God. But if you're only concerned about your body, then you're only concerned about yourself. And God's saying, don't just be concerned about yourself, but turn your attention to me. Turn your attention to my kingdom. He gives us a perspective that is better, while he gives us a promise that he will take care of us. Ephesians 3, verse 14 to 21, talking about the inner man. Do you know that you have an inner man? Woman, you have an inner woman. There's someone on the inside. Ephesians 3 verse 14 to 21 says, for this reason I bow before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. How does Christ get in there? Believe in him. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, what is the length, what is the height, what is the depth of his love, and to know this love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Man, I tell you, you don't have bread, but you've got love, you don't need bread. Honestly. And if you've got love, God will take care of you, and he'll bring you bread. But sometimes we look at the bread bin, we don't see any bread, and then we think there's no love. Hello? Don't let your love go out with the bread. God loves you. He will keep loving you. He He loves everyone. He does. He loves people in different ways. But as we come to believe in Him and trust in Him and believe in that love, there's something powerful that comes to us. There's a peace. Look what the rest of the scripture says. Ephesians 3:20. Now to Him who's able to do far more abundantly than we can ask or think. Have you ever thought about what to eat? Have you ever thought about your life? Have you got an anxiety about things? Well, whatever you can have an anxiety about, whatever you can ask or think, according to the power at work within us, God can do immeasurably abundantly more. Isn't that amazing? To Him be glory in the church, in Jesus Christ, through all generations, forever and ever. So there's an inner life. And when we have that inner life of the love of God inside of us, it's a source that is ever expanding. It expands to the length of what we need covered, to the breadth of what we need fed, to the height of what we need looked after, to the depth of what we need at every level. God's love for us is powerful. The eternal perspective is important. Your life is more than your food. Okay, guys? How many of you are hungry right now? Don't get hangry at me if we carry on a little bit. But I'm telling you, life is more important than the food you eat, than the clothes you wear, than the stuff. Because all of that stuff, naked we come and naked we go. Hello? Got to have an eternal perspective on these things. Yes, and it's good to have things. It's good to have stuff. God will show us what to do with it when we've got it. It doesn't mean we must get rid of everything and tell everyone who doesn't have, oh, don't worry, there's eternity for you. If we have the love of God in us, we're going to want to take care of ourselves and take care of others in the most amazing way. And sometimes God will use you to be the abundance for someone who doesn't have. But if your attention is only on your belly, you'll never extend what you have to the person next to you. And that person will be crying out to God saying, Lord, please send someone in your love. He's just waiting for somebody who's going to receive the completion of that love and say, wow, I'm full. I can give some more. Let me give it to you who's empty. And then everybody who's hungry has, and everyone who's eaten has given. Isn't that powerful? That's what we need. Consider the kingdom in that way. Jesus is in charge of all. Colossians 3, verse 1 to 4. Put on the new self. If you then have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds, your anxiety, on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, the life is not just food. Life is Christ in us. Then you also will appear with Him in glory. We need to tell the greedy and the hungry that they need God. They need Jesus. Psalm 147, verse 7 to 11 is a promise for you. Psalm 147, verse 7 to 11. Hey, it sounds like 7-11. You know that place, 7-11? Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Make melody to our God on the lyre, guitar. He covers the heavens with clouds, and He prepares the rain for the earth. He makes the grass grow on the hills. He gives to the beasts their food, and to the young ravens that cry out. His delight is not in the strength of a horse, nor is His pleasure in the legs of a man, but the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear Him, in those whose hope is in His steadfast love. He takes care of you, folk. Our lives are more than clothing. I must admit, I like clothing. I seem to grow up with this brand consciousness that if my mom and dad bought me a shirt and you had a plain shirt and you had a Nike shirt, I wanted, the branded shirt. I wanted the branded shirt. Isn't it like it? You know, when your folks want to buy, if my folks were going to buy me shoes, they're like, Brad, let's go to this side of the store, and we look over there, and it's like, yeah, those are cool, those shoes, they do everything, got laces, they've got a sole. Go to that. But I'm like, well, let's go to the other side of the store, because there's the Reeboks and the Adidas, whatever, names of the brands. I'm not actually allowed to say the names of brands, you know, because this goes public. Or am I allowed to? Is there a legal person here? Whatever. I'm not worried, I don't care. There's no shoes in heaven. And so, and so, you know, we grow up in this world of this obsession with how we look and what we have, and it says something about us. Oh, I can afford the expensive one. You know, and how we smell and all this kind of stuff, and we have this body consciousness and this body obsession, and you know, there's nothing more proud than the guy at gym that's got the biggest muscles. Hello? I mean, it's great when those guys are humble, but there seems to be this thing, and I mean, the woman that's the thinnest, and she's got all the, what's that song, all the right stuff in all the right places. You know, there's like Sharissa, but don't look at her. Not any of you guys look at her. So, I mean, there's this thing of the peacock that struts its stuff with its feathers right out there so that everybody can see. Yeah, and this, it, there seems to be a link, and listen to Yemi Acha, there's a link between how we look and what we wear to our sexuality. Because the issue is, will I have a partner or not? Will I look good to the opposite sex? And some people are making themselves look good so that they can have more sex. Some people are trying to keep themselves in whatever shape so that they can have a partner. And I don't think there's anything wrong with presenting yourself in a way that is to the glory of God. But let's consider this. The Bible speaks very clearly. Let your adornment not be with gold and braided hair and all these kind of things, which is nice, guys. I thank you that you come to church looking beautiful. Please, I'm glad some of you comb your hair. But there's the inward love. The inward expression of a quiet and peaceful spirit is more beautiful than anything. You can tell. You know, you can have, by worldly standards, people might say, oh, that person's not very good looking. And it says about Jesus, there was nothing in his appearance that attracted any of us to him. But I tell you what, if you had to look in Jesus' eyes, you would sense heaven just breaking into your heart. There's something way more beautiful to God than we have placed all the value on. The magazine covers don't always have a picture of wisdom and grace. They've always got microbladed this and zinga zaga that and blah, 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 and all kinds of things. It's great. It's wonderful. It's beautiful. I mean, Jesus talks about the flowers having more glory than Solomon. So there is something beautiful about looking nice. But guys, love is much more than this. The issue is what's on the inside. Again, it's the spirit on the inside. And so I'm linking it to sexuality because Ephesians tells us a little, 1 Corinthians 6 tells us a little bit about what the body's for. And some people are anxious about their sexuality. Some of you, I'm being very open here. Some of you are concerned about whether you'll ever have sex again. For some people, it's the issue. Divorced, not married, single, am I never ever going to use my body the way it's designed, all these kind of things. Well, let's look at the scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12 to 20. Flee sexual immorality. All these things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. So the Corinthians were saying these things in inverted commas. They're saying, I can do whatever. But Paul's saying not everything is good for you. Then he says, the Corinthians were saying, but all things are lawful. And then Paul is saying, but you can be dominated by anything. Then the Corinthians say, but food is meant for the stomach and stomach for food. And then Paul is saying, yeah, but God will destroy both of them. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord. Hello? Single person? Divorcee? Widowee? Widower? Whatever? Your body is not for what you think it is. It needs to be sustained, but your body belongs to the Lord. And it's for the Lord. So it says here, the body's not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. God wants your bodies. So the body's important, but it's important for a purpose. Not so that we can just satisfy its cravings. My body wants this, I'll give it to my body. You know, inside of me is this thing that just wants this, and I'll just go get it, no matter what, and you'll fight and whatever until you get it. But the body's for something else. It's for the Lord. And the Lord is for the body. And God raised the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one body with her? Did you know that? The minute you sleep together, you become tied as one soul. I know what it was like before being married to Sharissa, the only person I've ever wanted to be tied to in my soul. I had to untie some stuff because before I met Sharissa, there were some others. Thank you, Jesus, that he set me free, delivered me, forgave me of those things, and over a period of time, God restored like a singleness to my life where I only wanted him, I wanted his purposes, and I wanted the one he would give me, and that was it. And I said, Lord, at your time, whenever it may be. The day when Sharissa walked into a prayer meeting, Some of you met your partners in bars. I met mine in a prayer meeting. Woo-hoo. So when Sharice walked into the prayer meeting, I was like, oh my word, thank you, Jesus. Yes, she's the one. And I didn't speak to her for 6 months. Because if it was old bread, the body needs what the body, I would have just gone for what I wanted. But actually, Lord, I serve you. And the right time came where God presented the whole thing. And within a year, we were married. And then it's not about our purposes, it's about His purposes. We were married for Him. The day we told Manny and Dawn we wanted to get married is the day He said to me, I want you full time. So it's almost as if our marriage opened the door to the kingdom for us. And so God does amazing things when we wait at the right time. But it says, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Don't join yourself if there isn't a covenant, please. It says here, verse 16, do you not know that one who is joined to a prostitute or others becomes one with her? For it is written, the two shall become one flesh. Imagine you, the two becoming one, and then someone else, two becoming one, then it's four becoming one, then it's six becoming one, then it's eight, and it can become this whole thing. Then you're anxious, and you don't know who you are, because your little pieces of you split up all over the town. God forbid. Today, Lord, restore souls so that anxiety may go. And today, let there be a heart desire to say, Jesus, for you and for that one. And let it be proven by your covenant and your love. Two become one. But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with Jesus. Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits outside his body, but sexual immorality, a person sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. That which we drank this morning, the blood, that there on the cross, we were bought at that price. So therefore, we don't belong to ourselves. Let's glorify God with our bodies. Life is more than your body. Life is the spirit inside of it that God wants to use for His purposes. He made you. He saves you. He wants to use you. Amen? He's made you. He saves you. And He wants to use you. So, let's exchange our anxieties. The anxieties of the earth. Let's exchange them for the concerns of heaven. Do you want to do that with me today? 1 Corinthians 7, verse 32. Again, this is helpful for single people, but helpful for married too. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 32 to 35. I want you to be free of anxiety. Can someone say amen to that? I want you to be free of anxiety. Imagine a world where there's no anxiety. That's your world from today, if you hear the words of God. I want you to be free from anxieties. The unmarried man is anxious about the things of the Lord. Anxious about the things of the Lord? So there can be a positive aspect to our anxiousness. Hello? I really want to see people saved. I really want to see you, all of you, reach the fullness that God has for your lives. I'm anxious about that, in a sense. I want to make sure that you... I'm worried about the fact that some of you might not reach everything that God has for you because of decisions and because of things that you do, because of ideas in your minds. That's why I'm hoping and trusting that as the word comes, I'm anxious with this, that as this gets across to you, and sometimes I don't know how to get it across as well as I can, and sometimes I don't know if I take too long or if I talk a lot of nonsense and all these things that God has wired me with, whether you're actually getting it or not, but I'm anxious about something. I'm anxious about Christ being formed in your life. Genuinely, it's something that I want. It's something that I desire. I want Him to be formed in me. So there's a right kind of anxiety, a right kind of concern, a right kind of occupation with our minds, a right kind of obsession or devotion. I want you to be free of anxieties. The unmarried man is anxious about the things of the Lord. Anyone not married yet, man, unmarried man or woman, get anxious about the things of the Lord. Not about the one you put the deodorant on for. Let your life be a fragrance for Him. And I tell you what, then the right person will notice. But it's about serving Him. It's about loving Him. How to be, what's this? But the married man, look at this, the married man is anxious about worldly things. How many of you know what I mean there? How to please his wife. I don't always please Sharissa. This last week, I sent out a message to some people, and I said, hey guys, it's my wife's 29th birthday. Whoops, it's her 35th birthday. I was like, oh Lord Jesus, forgive me. My babe, please forgive me. Yes, I tell you, there was like moments of anxiety. I was like, I'm going to lose everything now because I undershot it a little bit, which is good. I'm glad I didn't say 39 or whatever. Nothing wrong with 39, but I'm not as anxious about you as my wife. And so it says you want to please her. And your interests are divided. You want to please God, you want to please people. And the unmarried and the betrothed woman is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to be holy in body and spirit. Any unmarried woman here? Be anxious about the things of the Lord, how to be holy in body and spirit. But the married man is anxious about worldly things. Married woman, anxious about worldly things. We don't have to explain that. How to please a husband. I say this for your own benefit, not to lay restraints on you, but to promote good order and to secure an undivided devotion to the Lord. Whether you're married or single, devote yourself to God. A devotion to God is the antidote for anxiety. Please, hear what I just said. A devotion to God is the antidote for anxiety. You with me? You are applying your mind to a fearful circumstance which might not ever happen when you are anxious. Take the same attention to detail and focus it on Jesus, the provider, the giver, the savior, the amazing, seated on the throne, coming again in glory, forever reigning. Take your attention and put it on him, and your anxiety is destroyed in a minute. I have not given you a spirit of fear, says the Lord, but a sound mind that you may know and understand. God loves you. Can we turn our anxieties away? Pray, devotion. Philippians 4, verse 6 to 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Who wants peace in their hearts? Who wants their minds guarded? Man, pray. Devotion to him. Don't be anxious. Devoted to the thinking of the world. Devote yourself to prayer. In your work and your business, Jesus gives us an example of the birds. I mean, have you ever seen a bird opening a bank account? If you call your wife your bird and she opened a bank account, okay. But have you ever seen a bird open a bank account? Never. You know, the birds, I mean, I see this weaver, he's starting to build a nest, and the provision, everything he needs is there. And he builds it and he tears it down and he builds it and he tears it down and he builds it and he tears it down. I've got to clean up every single time and it's straight over the swimming pool. But anyway, it's a wonderful thing to see God is supplying a house for this little bird. It neither sows, you don't see the bird like dropping a seed in the ground and waiting for the things to come out. It doesn't reap. It's not gathering up fruits and got one tent for the car and one tent for the holiday home and one tent for the this. You know, okay, nothing wrong with those things. Keep your heart and kingdom. But it's not storing up and gathering. And like asking the other bird if it can borrow. This is a provision. Incredible provision. And God's saying, take note of that and then you'll see how I want to take care of you. Can we trust God to take care of us? But I promise you what happens. The anxiety of, I don't know, I can't afford this clothing right now. So, you know, I've got to have the clothing by tomorrow. So I'll open an account now. Yes, 10,000 you'll give me. Oh, that's great. Let's spend it all. Now you've got debt. Now you've got anxiety because you wanted clothes in a minute. Now you've got debt and anxiety because you can't pay it. Then you've got anxiety in front of the slot machine and you're sticking coins in that thing and it's emptying out your pension and you're pulling the thing and nothing's happening. And God's not like that either. You don't give your tithe and then see, oh, let's see how much money God's going to give me. Put your trust in him and watch him work in his time. Your businesses, for some of you guys, the parable of the sower talks about the choking of the deceitfulness of riches and the cares of the world can choke the life of God out of you. You can get so concerned about your work and your business that you've got no concern for the kingdom or your family. And it chokes the life out and you become unfruitful. And God wants you to be fruitful. And he says, will you bring it to me? Will you come to me? Will you open up your life to me? Will you open up your business to me? Would you open up your budget to me? Will you open it all up to me? If you care about these things, then the Bible says, cast your cares upon him because he cares for you. Bring your business. If Jesus has not got any say in your business, your anxieties are guaranteed. But if he's got a say in your business, trust him. You need him to have a say in your retirement. You need him to have a say in what's happening in your life. I don't have time this morning to go through the story of Joseph. But Joseph was a success because the Lord was with him. Your work, folk, is given by God. Therefore, do your work with God and for God. And then you will be blessed and succeed. How do you do it with God? Every decision you make, pray. How do you do it for God? Make sure that he has access to the resources of your business. Because then it's just for your belly, God. Amen? Then it's just for your anxieties to be satisfied. But rather, let's seek first the kingdom of God, and then all the other stuff will be added. You know what a promise that is? What is the real reason you do what you do in your life? Is it for the kingdom or is it for you? The real reason why you go to work, is it for the kingdom? The real reason why you earn a salary, is it for the kingdom? The real reason why you get married, is it for the kingdom? The real reason why you eat your food, why you stay healthy, why you go to gym, why you dress yourself appropriately, why you look good, is it for the kingdom? Is the real reason that you want the glory of God and the reign and the rule of Jesus to spread everywhere? Because I tell you what, the Father knows you and he'll take care of everything. If you will set your heart on taking care of what he needs done on this earth. When we start to get anxious about his kingdom coming, he gets anxious about everything that we need. And he takes care of it. How many of you would rather have God anxious about your things than you be anxious about his things? He's taken the prerogative to take care of you. You're not God. Let him take care of you. But then, we're not him. He needs us. The only way God's going to do what he needs to do on this earth is through people who have surrendered their hearts and surrendered their lives and say, God, use me. And if we ask him to use us, do you know that he will take care of you? So we have this beautiful promise. Seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added. When you make God and what he delights your delight, he makes sure that you have the desires of your life. Psalm 37, beautiful. Let's go there. Psalm 37, verse 1 to 7. The Bible is full of scripture that gets us to turn away from fearing things, fearing God, bad news, fearing all kinds of stuff that can happen, and turning to trusting God and seeking God first. You can have confidence in your future. You don't have to have anxiety over your future. Worrying about tomorrow. Thinking about what's going to happen the next day. Where are we going to get money for Thursday? Where are we going to get do this for next Saturday? Well, how are we going to do all these things? What's going to happen when the bills come on the 25th, 26th? What are all these kind of things? Seek God today. Seek his kingdom today. Let tomorrow take care of itself. Listen to the Psalm 37. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Do not be envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass, wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Be still before the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil desires. Today, let's stand together, and let's make an exchange from the cares of this world to the cares of God. Amen. Can we do that? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Psalm 127. Unless the Lord builds the house, the laborers labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. In vain you rise up early and go to bed late to sleep, eating the bread of anxious toil, because God gives sleep to those he loves. Who needs sleep? We all need sleep. Who's been battling with insomnia? Nice. Come forward. Anybody that's been battling with sleep, please. Anyone. Today we're going to pray for you to be free of this thing. You're going to sleep right now. Katush, I'm joking. Michael, I'm glad you've got great faith, bro. Like, I don't want to sleep now. It's great, eh? Come on. Look at this, guys. Amen. How many of you have great sleep? Who of you get great sleep? Oh, you must stretch out your hand. Noel's yawning already. Yeah, how many of you have been sleeping in the message? Is anyone here been sleeping while I've been preaching? Okay, let's stretch out our hands to these people. Oh, Lord Jesus, your word says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it'll be open to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. The one who knocks will be opened. Which one of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if you ask for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you, though we sinners, know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will the Father wants to give his kingdom, his peace, his joy to each one of you? If he could let his son die on a cross for you, how much more will he give you a little thing like sleep? Oh, you of little faith, God can calm the storms. Oh, you of little faith, God can cause you to walk on water. Oh, you of little faith, God can cast out the nightmares. Today is a day for believing in him again. Cast your cares and your anxieties upon him. He cares for you. He loves you. What can separate you from his love? Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, not having clothes, not having food, danger, sword. None of these things. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. For I'm sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything in all creation can separate you from the love of God that is yours in Christ Jesus right here, right now.